listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. How great thy name! Lord, our Lord, in all the earth, how great thy name! Thine the name of matchless worth, excellent in all the earth, how great thy name! Reading today from Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 16 through 21, and then part of the 17th chapter. First of all, chapter 16, verse 16. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them, from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They have not hid them from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double. and in their land, because they have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge, in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. And then the first 10 verses of chapter 17. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give my substance and all of the treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders, and thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. Let's pray that we'll have understanding of these diversified words, speaking of both cursing and blessing. Cursing, we trust in self or others, man. Blessing is the man who trusteth in the Lord. Blessing to such a one. Yes, blessing in living by faith in the Lord God of heaven. Let's pray to him through Christ. Our Father in heaven, we come to one on a throne. We come also to a throne of mercy to find help in time of need. When we come through him who is on the right hand of that throne, one who has come down to earth to live, to die, to rise again, to pay for our sins and iniquities, to pay the terrible price, not only the curse on the cross, but being forsaken by thee, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, we who have been convicted of our sin know the answer, that thy face had to be hid from him at that time of his suffering, of his death. And though we cannot fully grasp it, we believe it to be true. And we give thee thanks for so loving the world that thou dost give thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To believe also that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must thou, Lord Jesus, be lifted up. Again, that whosoever believeth on thee should not perish, but have eternal life. We pray that the gospel might soon be preached to every nation, every tongue, every tribe, For thou hast said, this gospel must be first preached, and then the end will come. And we pray that it might soon be preached to all nations. Especially we pray that it might be preached even at this time to those to whom, among whom, Lord Jesus, thou wast born in Bethlehem, born in the city of David, born to the Virgin Mary, born to the fulfillment of prophecy. And we pray, Father, in Christ's name, that thou wilt now hear us and send the Holy Spirit to take the things of Christ and show them to us, even in this sad and dark prophecy of Jeremiah, yet also prophesying of Christ, and we give thee thanks for it. We also pray, Father, for every other need, for young and old, for hungry, full, suffering in every different way, through Christ. Amen. As we continue from the words of Jeremiah, the solemn words, very solemn, as we read in that 16th verse, God will send fishers and hunters to seek out his people wherever they are, some for death and others for captivity. In verse 17 we read, mine eyes are upon all their ways. They shall not be hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Ever since Adam sinned, mankind has foolishly thought, including ourselves, that we could hide from God, that he does not see it. But we read here, mine eyes are upon all their ways. All of those of whom Jeremiah was speaking of here immediately, all of those throughout all of the ages. A little later we read of the Gentiles. The Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. In one way, God glorified himself through these people to whom Jeremiah was speaking by sending judgment on others. And yet, in another time, in another way, God glorified himself in sending judgment on Israel and Judah from other nations, even as he would here and was doing, even at this time, through the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, through his armies that had come and already carried away many captive. Not every chapter in the book of Jeremiah is in order in time. Sometimes there's a chapter that goes back a few years before the previous chapter. But at this time here that he's speaking, it is in the midst of the carrying away. Also in the midst of the time of death, famine, pestilence, the noisome beast, and then the sword, whoever resisted the king Nebuchadnezzar when he came to take away things out of the temple and came to carry away some of the people, the beginning of the captivity. But first of all, we must think of God. The king's heart is in his hand. Both the king here in Israel and also Nebuchadnezzar. Sometimes we read of God calling Nebuchadnezzar his servant, and he was, to be used of God to do his direction, not willingly to bow before God, not willingly to love his neighbor as himself. He did it in foolish ways, wicked ways, and later would be both reproved and punished for it. And that's what we need to be careful. When we think of some of the Psalms, we see prayers against God's enemies, sometimes even against the enemies of the psalmist. But we need to be very careful how we understand these teachings, these examples, these ways. Even as the Lord Jesus said, to love your enemies, do good unto them that do wrong to you. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, not the other way around. And we need to learn that. We can learn that already here, this history, long before the coming of Christ. And we need to see that God does punish sin. Sometimes we just think glibly that, well, I believe in Christ, everything is all right. And that what we read here, that God will send judgment, and on every sin, that won't happen. But I think in certain ways it does happen. For some, thankfully, it's only temporal. We will not be eternally judged or eternally punished if we are God's children and have become God's children through Christ. But yet, like David, sinned. After he sinned, God sent Nathan. And he said, thou shalt not die. David deserved to die, deserved to go to hell. But he did suffer temporally. He did suffer terribly in his family. He did suffer for his sin. Not the full punishment, not the full and eternal judgment, but much temporary suffering, much temporary sorrow. And that's what sin brings. That's all it brings. And that's why we read these things here. And God is not only declaring to them his judgments, yes, many times his judgments, declaring here what he would do, declaring a little later what he would do in the time of captivity, the long captivity that would come for 70 years, but also the restoration, the promise of what would take place after the captivity, the promise of the coming of Christ, the promising of the latter days that God would write his laws on their hearts. Yes, Jeremiah is a prophecy of doom, but also a prophecy of promise. Many promises. Promises that we can pray today will be fulfilled in our time. Especially when we get to that 31st and 32nd chapter. As I just mentioned, when God tells Jeremiah, I will write my laws on their hearts. They will not have to teach every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord. Everyone will know the Lord. That isn't something that's taking place today. Not in the church. Not in our nation. Not in our homes. Not in the world. Not true for either Jew or Gentile. We're all left in many ways to ourself. And here's what we have if we are left to self. If we just go ahead for a moment to the 17th chapter, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. And that curse is there, either by trusting in others, other men, other women, or trusting in self. All is included. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. The exact opposite. So different that we can't even begin to think of the difference. A few verses further. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. That's the difference. That's the message of God's word. Every one, yes, every one that doesn't trust in the Lord, every one that does not believe in the only true God of heaven, the creator of the world, the giver of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone trusts in himself or in others. Sometimes many trust in tradition or their church. I remember one man stating to me once, well, I hope my church is right. Just as if to say, I don't really know. But if they're right, then I think I'm right too. Just to go along, as it were, with the crowd. Cursed is every man that trusteth in man. You might say, but the church is the body of Christ. It should be. Yes, it should be. And I say it hesitantly and carefully, but I also say it with warning. Because not all of the church has been the body of Christ. Would you have a body if your hand was on one place, your leg on another, your ear in another, your mouth in another place? All part of your body taken apart, what would it be? Death. Death. Death for your body. Too often, I believe it has been the death of the church. In its divisions, in its pride, in its separations, in its haughtiness. Each being a part, each thinking, I am best. And saying, as Paul warned in his letter to the Corinthians, that the hand can't say to the foot or to the eye, I have no need of thee. There's much of that today. When we think of Jeremiah, sometimes his words are like the psalmist. Going further into the 17th chapter, we didn't read that far, but Lord willing, another time we will come to that, but just to go to it for a moment. The 14th verse of the 17th chapter. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Often we read such language in the Psalms. We need to have that. We need to cry out, as did the psalmist and Jeremiah here personally. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Jeremiah was saying that here in the midst of this troublous times. He was looking to the Lord. He was trusting in the Lord. Yes, he had to be reproved, as we saw a couple weeks ago, when God had to reprove him. Chapter 15, verse 19, therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. As I said then, this is not always so easy. We are also told, judge not, ye shall not, that ye be not judged. For what judgment you judge, it shall be meted again. What we judge others, we should want God and others to judge us in the same way. But we can stand for the truth. And we must stand for the truth. First of all, we must know the truth. We must do as the Lord Jesus said. And this part of God's word, every part of it, the doom that Jeremiah speaks of, the promise that Jeremiah speaks of, the instruction that he gives, the promise of Christ, all of that must be received. It's all part of the word of God, which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and thankfully, for instruction in righteousness. Listen to what Paul wrote many, many years later. 600 and some years later, Paul wrote to Timothy. After the Lord Jesus had gone back to heaven, he had called Paul to be his witness, and here he is writing to Timothy in the second letter that he wrote to him. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth. And they shall turn unto fables. From the truth, turned unto fables. a story, a half-truth. Part of what man says, part of what God says. Yes, again, cursed is he that leaneth on the arm of man. Cursed is he that will take a fable for the truth and enjoy it, having itching ears. We need to have what Jeremiah spoke. I can remember a pastor one time speaking against Jeremiah. He said even his own family didn't like him. Yes, that was sadly true. The prophets from Anath, his own home place, spoke against Jeremiah. Some even wanted to kill him. We'll come into that some chapters later and read what God says about those, what will happen to them. His eye was on them. His eye was on Jeremiah. And all Jeremiah had to know was what we just read and what we considered a couple weeks ago. If thou return to me, then I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. This is God speaking. If thou take forth the precious from the vial. Do you believe that doctrine of Scripture, that it speaks of what is precious and what is vile? What is the doctrine of doom and judgment? What is the doctrine of promise and eternal life? That awesome difference. The last church that the Lord Jesus spoke to was described as lukewarm. Neither hot nor cold. And he didn't like it. He said, I would that thou wert hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Yes, he did describe his love to them as well as to others. He said, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. He had a love here toward these people. He had compassion on his people and on his place. Part of what's going on yet. But later, he would state till there was no remedy. And Jerusalem would fall, be destroyed, and be laid waste for 70 years. 70 years of God's judgment. God's curse, because they leaned on the arm of flesh, their own, others, heathen idols. Isaiah before had warned, don't go to Egypt. Don't trust in Egypt. Don't trust another nation to help you. It'll be of no avail. There's one to trust in, the living God. Yes, he lives. He made this creation live. Evolution can't give life. Can't give life. God can. Natural life comes from God. And spiritual life comes, as Christ said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Have you come to Christ? Ate of him, drank of him, believed on him?
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise